Let's pray together. Gracious God, you've made room for us. You've made room for us in your house through Jesus Christ. So as we gather here together, we would ask that you would quiet our hearts, that you would draw us near to you today. Remind us that we belong, not because of what we've done, but we belong because of your grace. Lord, we would ask that you would shape us into a people who would make room for others as well. Just as you've welcomed us in, we welcome, we come to worship with grateful hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in one of our churches, we've probably shared your joys and your concerns by now, lifted up the victories that we've had as church, as the body of Christ. Lift those victories to God and give him the praise. Also, you've probably shared some of the hardships, some of the places where we are seeking healing or restoration or discernment. And as a church family, we can do that together through prayer as well. So if you've taken care of that, if you have some and you're joining us online, just have those in your heart as I lead us in some prayer. Oh, Lord of abiding love and infinite patience. Oh, you have so much patience. Help us not to just say that we feel you with us today, but Lord, let us believe it deeply as we gather together in your house with your people. Some of us come today from times of stress or difficulties, griefs, concerns. Others from times of hope and joy, peace. Lord, we admit that the brightness and the dazzle of Easter has dimmed in our midst. We've allowed ourselves to slip back into old habits, old attitudes. We've focused our time and our energy on the upcoming events in our lives. We have graduations, rummage sales, vacations that we're looking forward to. But Lord, help us. Help us to remain in the awe of the empty tomb. Bring us again to your resurrection spirit, that we might know of your abiding love and presence each and every day. We want to place our trust in Jesus. We want to be of service to you by serving others. But there are times when our courage, our strength, our energy, they waver, Lord. There's so much to do. And sometimes we wonder if we can do the work that you've set before us. It can be so easy for us to turn away. So right now, Lord, as we stand before you in this house of worship, we're answering your call to care for the sick, to care for the lonely. We look for the lost and the forgotten. And as we've lifted these names and situations to your care and glory, Lord, lead us to be your light in this world when we leave this place, so that others may find their place in your house too. We confess that we could have thought about you a whole lot more than we did this week. We've let events and demands crowd you out of our thoughts and out of our actions. Yet when we come to this, your house of worship, we again seek your forgiveness for our blindness and our apathy. Turn our lives around, Lord. Help us to look again at the many ways in which you bless us and you care for us. Help us to be people who will reach out to others in loving compassion. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we gather today, and we've talked a little bit about being in God's house, I want to read from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Now here's what it says. So many of us have heard this passage, but we're going to look at it a little deeper today. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas says to Jesus, he said, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. But Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is my Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they'll do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything, or you may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Not too long ago, it became a trend, and it was really sweeping across the whole nation. This is the so-called tiny house movement. Some people are looking for alternatives to the traditional three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath mansions that so many of us live in. And they're opting out for these teeny, tiny, ultra-modest little homes. A friend of ours was thinking about a home for her and her husband, their two kids. The whole thing is only 200 square feet. 200, can you imagine living four people in 200 square feet? There are several reasons, though, people may choose an option like this. One thing about these tiny homes is that they're portable. So if you want to live in Florida for a while, you can. And if you decide that you want to move to Maine then for a few years, you can just hitch up your house and head north on 95 and end up in Maine. Another reason you might want to commit to a tiny house is that it requires so much less in resources to build it. Some believe it's better for the environment to live in these small houses. I would think that another advantage would be that if we had a tiny amount of space, we wouldn't accumulate so much stuff that we need to store. If you've ever watched some of the TV shows that are dedicated to this trend, the most fascinating part is watching how they maximize that little amount of space that they have. There are beds that fold up into the walls, bookshelves that are built into the steps, and televisions that slide right into the floor, allowing the tabletop to fold down so that you have somewhere to sit and eat your dinner. I think it's amazing how little space we really require to live and still live pretty well. Well, today's scripture, John's gospel, speaks to us of our eternal quarters. It tells us that there are many rooms. In the New Revised Standard Version, verse 2 says this, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. The Common English Bible says this, my Father's house has room to spare. I guess as I read the passage, the question that came to my mind is, how big is this room that Jesus says he's going to prepare for us? I think that as Americans, we create this image of mansions and plenty of space for us and our loved ones so that we can spread out, have plenty of room. But when I think of heaven and the souls that we're going to share it with, I wonder, is having plenty of room, is it really necessary? Is that really the goal? Do we really need that much space to store stuff that we won't have, to store stuff because we won't have stuff that we need to store? We won't even have stuff that we need. Jesus only promises us followers that there's room for everyone. And the more and more I meditated on this idea, and the more I prayed for some insight to what this passage is saying, the more I thought about those tiny little houses. Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them. And that's what he did. The very next day, after this conversation with his disciples, he prepared a place for them. And he included you and me through his selfless offering on the cross. The act of pure love opened the door to God's house where everyone is invited, and where there's more room than any of us could ever need. I'd like you to think about this with me. If you remember the day after Easter morning, the gospel tells us that the ten of the disciples, they were together in one room. They were locked away, secluded from the rest of the world. I'm sure there were probably more people with them too. I'm sure there some of the women were there with them. Lord knows those disciples, they probably weren't going to cook for themselves. Mary was obviously a central part of the group, so I would assume that she was also there with them. And here's the thing. At that moment, all they really needed was each other. And if we think about it, they were living in a really tiny space. And then who shows up? Through a locked door, by the way, Jesus in his resurrected body. Remember this. He showed up in his resurrected body. Because I want to come back to that thought in a moment. In our passage, verse 6 describes God's house as only having one address. And he said there's only one way to get there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One address, one way to get there. And that's through our belief in who Jesus is. It's in our belief in what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's how we navigate our way to our eternal home, whether it be big or whether it be tiny. This might seem a little bit confusing. Didn't Jesus say that there were many dwelling places? And now he's saying that he is the only way to the Father's one and only house. Think about it. With billions of people in the world, and only part of them are active Christians, it'd be tempting to think that the Father's house might be smaller than we previously thought. But I would ask you to consider what you will need when you get to that heavenly feast. If we're living in God's house, what possessions do we need to have? Why do we think we need a small farmette when we get to heaven? When Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, he told them to take nothing with them. They were supposed to trust that wherever they would go, that they would be provided for. Maybe we don't need that much. Earlier I mentioned that Jesus returned in his resurrected body. And we're promised a resurrected body too. 1 Corinthians tells us this. It says, it is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They're buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. You see, when we receive our eternal resurrected body, it'll be spiritual. It'll be pure. It will be as God created us in the very beginning. And we'll all share these bodies in a redeemed world that will be returned to the way that God planned it. And when you think about it, we won't need much space to live. We won't fear for having something taken away from us. We won't need a three-car garage, a full basement to store unused stuff and to shelter us from the storms that threaten us. We won't experience sickness and death. We won't even need to reserve or buy a burial plot. We won't need a giant house because our perfect resurrected body will be the tiny house in which our essence will dwell forever. We'll commune together at a table in one house, God's house. Think about this. Can you imagine a time when you will own nothing, yet you'll share in everything? Everything God has to offer, you'll share in that together. Friends, this morning, we're gonna share communion together. And this table is just a foretaste of what our eternity is going to be like. Open access. Open access to God's unrelenting, unending, undeserved provision of grace. Church, we are called to share that grace so that others may find their place at this eternal table with us. Won't it be a great day when all of God's children find their place in God's house? So let's come to this table of grace together. To God be the glory. Amen. So if you've had a time and you're with us at home, or if you're ready at the campus churches, let's join together. This table's open to everybody. Anybody who truly repents of their sins, seeks God's forgiveness, believes that Jesus lived and died, was raised again, prays for us today, the Holy Spirit that's transforming our lives, this table is open. You can have it, access to all of God's grace through this table. So let's share together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image. You breathed the breath of life into us. And when we turned away, when our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made a covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us through to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus met with those disciples. He took bread during the meal and he gave thanks to you, Lord. And then he broke that bread and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, all of you, eat. This is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and again he gave thanks to you, God. And then he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, all of you, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples. In the breaking of the bread and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim this mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. And we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And God's people said, Amen. As you come forward, remember, this is a gift, God's gift to all of us, that we may be saved and find our place in his house. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself for us. We ask, Lord, that as we look forward to that space you've created up for us, that special dwelling spot that you have waiting for each and every one of us, we would ask that this meal, this access to your grace, nourishes us, feeds us, empowers us, strengthens us to go out into the world to share your good news with those who feel lost and lonely as if they have no place. We are your people. You are our God. We give you thanks and glory. Amen. So as we close, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that in your house there's room for each and every one of us. Not because of our worthiness, but because of your great love revealed in Jesus Christ. As we leave this place, remind us that we are people of that promise. We are people who follow the way. We are people who live not for what we can gather, but for what we can share. Receive our gifts that we've offered, Lord. Use them to build your kingdom, to open doors, to extend tables, to welcome those still searching for their place in you. And dedicate our lives as well, that we may be living offerings, carriers of your grace, witnesses to the truth that there's plenty of room, more than enough room for all. Send us out with courage. Send us out with joy, trusting that the one who's prepared a place for us is also preparing the way before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.